Forgot we were only doing two songs. We cut it a little short so that we could wrap things up here and the facility can be used for the event this afternoon. We will start looking at a few things for Christmas since we're almost there. Is everybody ready, by the way? Have you bought everything that everybody in your life wants you to buy them? Okay. Nobody's asked me for my list. I don't understand that. Not one person's asked me, what's your list, Tony? I'll take care of it. And it's not that bad. I think that Cabela's or Shields or Bass Pro Shop, any of those could take care of it. And I don't think over 10 or 15,000 at the most is what's needed for what I want. Yeah, I want one of those mules. Yeah, I sure do. All right, let's start looking at some events. This is one of the, I find more interesting events, but we're not going to dwell on the shepherds and what happened there, but we want to read it, and we'll talk about the gift that Jesus has, just peace. That's the gift that he gave, and I leave you with a gift, but we're going to read Luke 2:18. Start with this peace thing. Because the whole world is crying for peace, and they're looking for the wrong kind of peace. There's never going to be peace on this earth till Jesus Christ changes everything. He's going to have to come again and make it happen. So Luke chapter 2, and this particular version I'm using today is the New American Standard. Some of you have whatever, and because I switch around, and you never know which one, but whichever one reads best, that's the one I bring to you. I like the way this one put it today, and we'll talk about it some, so we'll get into it. We have verses 8 through 14 we're going to read, and then we're going to move to John and just have one verse there, but tie them together. They both tie together. But at a time when Roman rule was at its probably most fierce, strongest, vicious, and all of Israel was in, practically all the known world at that time. But the Romans had the power. They were it. They hadn't begun to decline like they did afterwards. So they have it. And people are oppressed by the Romans. And the Romans could do anything they wanted to do. You know that passage that says, none of us like, if you're slapped on the one cheek, turn the other. They forced to go 1 mile, go two. And in our day and time, it's like, what is that about? A Roman soldier could compel you to take his gear and put it on yourself, and you had to carry it for a mile. And Jesus said to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good and so forth. He said, when you're compelled to do that, and they load you with their gear, you go 2 miles. And you just show them that who Christ is by doing that, and you're bigger than they are. So that's not part of this message, but if you know the background, you find things easier to understand. And so the Romans had that kind of rule. They could slap you on the cheek, turn the other one. They could force you to carry their gear, and you carried it for a mile, and all of that. So they had that kind of power, and the people were under the domination of these folks. And so out in the field were the shepherds. And let's read verse 8 through 14. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terribly frightened. Yeah, I imagine. And it scared them to death. I mean, these shepherds have been rejected by the entire society. When you read this stuff, keep in mind, we've glorified the shepherds in our Christmas scenes. These guys in this day were rejects. They couldn't be a part of any city. You couldn't be any part of any city administration. They weren't included in anything. They weren't wanted in town. They smelled bad. They were considered the most uneducated, vile, lowest of the lowest people around, besides a Gentile or Samaritan. And so the shepherds, they were out in the fields. They had no place else to go. So keep the, you know, always keep in mind the background and who these people were. These were not the chosen. These were not the elite. They were not invited into civilization. They went in to get the few things they might need, and they were wanted to get out and go back. You stink, you never take a bath, you smell like sheep, and you're just lowlifes. They were considered thieves and rejects of society. So keep, these are the people out in the field taking care of sheep. They couldn't take care of anybody else because nobody else wanted to take care of them. So we know, keeping that background in mind, isn't it a very miraculous thing that suddenly to the lowliest rejects in society, well, besides maybe a prostitute or, and like I said, a Samaritan, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Incredible. Of all the people who would have thought that they were worthy of this experience, of this happening, it wouldn't be them. And that's why, you know, he stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terribly frightened. See, that's why they're so frightened. No, nothing good's ever happened to us. We're shepherds. What is this? Maybe they thought that because of the kind of people they were considered to be, maybe this is our end. I would be thinking that. Maybe this is God's way of just wiping us out. Here's this big light, and then the angel of the Lord, well, it's come. Now we're going to be killed in the field. See, think like they'd be thinking. Why would they be thinking anything else? Does God want them in their own minds? Would you feel like God wanted you when everybody else, and certainly the church of the day, the temple of the day, didn't want you? So you feel like God didn't want you. Friends, we forget it's so important, the church's attitude toward God and each other and other people. People are going to judge God by what they see in the church or by what they don't see with the church. God's judged by others based on what we do because we literally are the church. Our body is God's temple. Our body is the temple of the living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, these people, outcast, certainly none of the Pharisees, none of the Sadducees, none of the religious crowd would even get near one of these guys if they want to be tainted. We need to watch. Because these people didn't feel like if the church of the day doesn't want, the temple of the day doesn't want us, why would God? So here's this thing happening, and there's an angel of God appearing before him. I think this is an understatement. Terribly frightened, scared out of their wits. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, but behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you." Do you get this? You see what he's saying? There has been born for you. You. We miss this stuff. We're so familiar with these passages, we miss it. What is he saying? The angel is speaking to these lowly, low, and considered by society, low-life shepherds, and he is using these terms. He's saying, "For today, I bring you good news." They've never had any. That, you know, great joy for all, that'll be for all the people, but for today in the city of David, there's been born for who? For you. People like you, who nobody else wants, God wants you. And so people like you, born for you, there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you, not for the Pharisees, not for the church crowd, not for the rich of society. No, not for the Romans, certainly. No, look what he's saying. He's speaking to these shepherds, and he's saying, just for you guys, just for you. Just for you, God has gone to all this trouble and sent us out here, you know, the angel of the Lord and this bright light. And he, just for you, has chosen you, the people that nobody wants. God today is showing you how much he wants you. Isn't that incredible? If you walked in here today feeling in any way like surely that there's just no way God can tolerate me, the way I cuss, the way I lose my temper. I know I'm not talking to anybody here, but people you know that do that, you can share with them. But you know, the way the thoughts I think, the things I do, whatever it is. And you know, or maybe you just came in here despondent saying, I hope to God I hear some word from him because I just feel like this is, I can't go any further. Well, you're hearing it today. Because just like these shepherds, maybe you feel just like that. Do you ever feel like that if you just could keep from opening your mouth, you could be more well-liked? Does anybody ever have that problem? Oh, thank you, ma'am. That's an honest, that very honest person over. Anybody else? Anybody ever do that? Yeah, oh, whoa, look at, okay. You think if I just didn't open this, I would get more of this. But because I open this, I get more of this. And it's like, why don't we ever learn? But here, so this will be a sign for you. You. Not the rest of society. You get this? Just you guys today. Just right here tonight. Nobody else is being invited to this party. You ever thought about this thing? Just you. You're being invited to a party over here in a stall. And there's a baby in a manger. And you are being invited to be the first to see and the first to broadcast the news. Does this ever hit you? I mean, how powerful is this? And so this is a sign for you, and it tells how the baby, you'll find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And then suddenly, after he says this, there's this multitude appeared with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. And it's just for them. Do you realize that there's no mention, there's nothing of the rest of Israel seeing this? There's nobody else but these no good shepherds. These people that feel like there's no way they can be accepted. So if you feel like one of them, guess what? This is for you. This party is just for you guys. God's celestial party. The birth. And it's just for you. God has chosen you. The rejects of society to be his special guest at this birthday party. Wow. And so they're singing and glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom God is pleased. By the way, if you read the King James, read some others, said peace on earth glory to God in the highest, so on earth peace to men of goodwill. This has been a little controversial thing. I don't want to get all wrapped up in it because of two Greek words in translation and just one little letter and one little tense and one of those words. It can be translated peace on earth to, you know, and goodwill to men, or peace on earth to men of goodwill. And so anybody that tells you which is which, it's not certain. So, but I take in and I look at it and with all of Scripture, I believe he was saying, and I like the way this reads, and peace on earth among, and it's not just men, ladies, that's just the way they talk, but it's among people with whom God is pleased, people of goodwill. People that God is not pleased with have never received his peace. They don't get anything except they've got to repent and receive his mercy. Everybody agree with that? Oh, you don't? Okay, no. You have to repent of your sins and ask Jesus in your heart to receive his mercy, to receive his peace. If you don't do that, you're not going to get that peace. And that, so anyway, this, we're not here to teach seminary class, but just know that because of one little letter and these two Greek words put together, it can go either way. But it's like, well, we don't. It's not that significant. Not right at the moment, but just know that. You can go out and really impress the dickens out of your friends saying that. You know, from the Greek, because of this little tiny letter that we're not sure of. It could be this way or that way. And they're going to look at you and say, wow. You know that's what they'll do. So here these guys are. And they're invited to this birth, this great celestial party. And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the angels, you know, that's what you're going to have up there. So the shepherds said, you know, they began to say, let's go see this. Let's go do this thing. So, but we'll hold it there. You please read the rest. And by the way, on Christmas Eve, we'll have a candlelight service that morning at our regular time. And we'll go over this and read this whole Christmas story. But I just wanted you to know today, and then tie in John 14:27 with this, because we're talking about peace. And the New International in 14, John 14:27 says, peace, Jesus is speaking, and he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. God's word to you today is this. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. And you may be sitting here and saying, how can I not be? Jesus says not to be. He's saying, let me overcome what's going on around you. Look, the world's in turmoil. Our country's in turmoil. And we just have to admit it. I mean, it's chaos. It's turmoil. I didn't really get this. I haven't researched it enough to my satisfaction. But somehow it did not dawn on me that we drifted so far away. I don't know all the cities. So you can look them up for yourself. And I heard a guy speaking, and I just happened to flip across this morning, and I had a little bit of time there, and I thought, oh, and so was it Jensen Franklin? Is that his name? Everybody ever? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. But he was talking about in a lot of these states and a lot of cities. Now, if you steal something under $1,000, you won't even be prosecuted. And is that in Texas? Because I was trying to look up Texas stuff, and it looked like they changed some things. So check that out for me. But so somebody can steal from you under $1,000, and they won't even be prosecuted. What aggravates me is the very people who passed these laws, if you stole that $999 from them, they would be all over this thing. Isn't it incredible? And yet, what it's saying is we encourage you to be a thief. We encourage you to be evil. And if you do anything to these people, we'll punish you. And so what the scripture's being fulfilled, you know, they hated evil rather than good. And that's what's happening, right? I mean, you know, they embraced evil rather than good. And they hate good, embrace evil. And I didn't say that right the first time, but that's what's happening. This whole thing, and just the way I was raised, if you took a dollar, you pay the price. It's still theft. You know, we don't even want to send the police. We don't even want to prosecute a case under $1,000. Let me say something to you. For you seated right here and for people you know, how many of you know that $999, that $100, $300, to some people, it's like $300,000. That's all they have. And when you allow this kind of thing and society degrades this way, look, it tears us up. It's awful. It's awful. And I was reading in just a quick piece I could grab, and said in San Francisco, the store owners are reporting on average they're losing $500 a day to shoplifting. Because these people know they can't be prosecuted. That is beyond. And so I'm not up here to harp on all these. What it does, though, it upsets us. It grieves us. We see poor decisions. We see this thing of Israel and Hamas and all this kind of thing all around us. And it's just constant battering. And it's like there's no peace in the world. Let's get this said. There is no peace in the world. And there's not going to be. And friends, don't look for a peaceful world. And that's what Jesus came to tell us. He said, I'm leaving you with this gift. I'm a peace I leave with you. I give it to you. Not as the world gives. Let this soak in. The peace that's promised to these shepherds. The peace that's promised through Jesus Christ and your faith in Him is not the world's peace. It's not tangible. It's not transient. It's not going to be here today and gone tomorrow. The peace that Jesus gives, He said, I want you to get this. I want you to have peace in your heart, in your mind. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful. Why? He said, if you belong to me, what I promised to these shepherds, and I reiterate here in many places in John, the New Testament, He's saying, what I promised, I want you to get and let it soak in. If the world is blowing itself up around you, you can still have peace by staying focused on me. And listen to this. The enemy, the devil, and the people he's using in whatever position, he's trying to pull you as a Christian away from Jesus Christ and get you focused on the acts and the deeds and the words of people. And if you do that, you lose your peace. You can't live a joyful Christian life if you're focused on they, them, it. And so there's a call at Christmas to come back to the Savior. Christ the Lord is born today. Come back to that Christ. Here's the shepherds with nothing in their life, no peace at all, hated by all, and yet God appears to them. And the same thing today. He's saying, look, you may feel like you're in rags. You may feel like you're in poverty. You may feel like you're not significant, important, mean nothing to anybody. But God's saying, but you mean it to me. Every tear you shed, what does He say? It's put in His bottle. You're written on the palms of my hands.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. This is such a quiet group today. Thank you. Come and, you know, think about all this. You're ever before me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I hear every prayer. I know every breath, every heartbeat. I know when you're anxious. That's God saying that. And so what He's saying is, look, I want you to get calmed down. I want to give you peace of mind here. I want you to slow down. Give you peace of mind and heart. I want you to have calmness of thoughts. Quit thinking all these things. The economy's going to collapse. That's what we hear, isn't it? It's going to collapse. I got a notice and already, you know, starting January 1, there's going to be a shortage, a worldwide shortage of gunpowder. Well, yes, I eat that for breakfast every day. I like it with the whole milk, you know. But people are frantic buying, see. But why is there a shortage of gunpowder? The war in Ukraine. That's what's been laid off on, right? And the government has bought a new purchase of several billion rounds of ammo and all that stuff. So the shortage of gunpowder. And I thought, that's going to send people into frantic, you know, just hearing that. And it's like, really? Do we really need to freak out over that? Be prepared. But don't be freaked out. Get calm. You hear these reports and there's going to, you know, and I saw another deal in the U.S. Sun, you know, right after the first year, you're going to find shelves empty in the markets and in the grocery stores and all that. And you keep on with this, and it's like, you know, what does God say to you? Look at the birds of the air. They do not gather into barns or do all this, yet I feed them. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't spin, they don't make clothes, but, you know, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. And so God is saying, look, if I feed the birds of the air, I clothe the lilies of the field, how much more will I take care of you? Why are you jumping up and down? That doesn't mean that you don't prepare some things and put some money in reserve and you know, have some things where it just didn't. But God is saying, don't forget what my son Jesus taught you. If I care for that little bird that you just get so used to, you don't even pay attention much to anymore, I do. And he said, not one of those little sparrows falls to the ground except by your Father's will, and he knows about it. And he said, if I take care of all this stuff, why do you not think I'll take care of you? And I already told you I would. And what did God tell you to do? Tell you and me to do? He said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things I'll give to you. You don't have to worry. So let God get a hold of you right now and get a hold of your thoughts and quit worrying and stressing. And here's what gets most of us. What if? And here's the big one. The grid may go down. What if the grid goes? What if it doesn't? And what if it does? What if a grid goes, electric grid? And so my worrying about it now is going to make it a whole lot better. You'll make it. Because God says he'll take care of you. And there comes a place where, see, this is a war. The flesh, the enemy working on your flesh saying, oh, that's, you know, you better get, well, you get all, you know, you do this and do that. And God is saying, did I not tell you I'd feed the birds? And did I clothe the lilies? Did I not tell you if I do that? Did I not tell you I'll feed and clothe and give you food and water and drink? Did I not tell you that? Yeah, amen. Thank you. And it comes down to, don't you think maybe a lot of these things that are happening are here to call out who's really his people and who's not? Who's going to believe and who won't? Can't you hear the words, just like the angels heard this praise? I mean, the shepherds heard the angels praising that night in the field. Can't you hear the words of God this Christmas season across the skies saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? I want to give you freedom, God says. I just want to free you from being anxious and upset over what has been or may be. I want to release you from letting others dictate how you live. The media, they're dictating how we live. Why are you letting people tell you what to buy and not to buy? How to live? Think of the things, the pressures that are on us in commercials. I mean, if you listen to the commercials, you would have to build a big storage building, a warehouse. If you believed all the commercials, you'd need a warehouse just to store all the medicines you'd be taking. Just think, and ask your doctor about this. Ask your doctor about that. But then before the commercial's over, for liability's sake, then they tell you, now, you know, this could cause stomach upset. Three toes will fall off. One finger will go crooked. Your hair will only be partially there. And on, right? And all this list of side effects. And you're and we're saying, oh, yeah, I want that. But they're there to convince you need it. Well, let me ask you something. And I'm not telling you, we all take medicines, you know, everybody takes something, mostly. But have you ever asked God, instead of just treating the symptom, have you ever asked God to heal the source? God, would you get in there and heal my anxious stomach, my nerves, my worrying that's causing me to take all this? In the meantime, it helps, but I mean, taking, but the point is, ask God to go in. If you don't know, what is the root of my problem, God? Why this anxiety? Why do I worry so much? Why do I just constantly fall into depression? What is it, God, in me? Touch that spot. Heal me at the root of it, and then the symptoms go away. And isn't that the way it should work? He's the great physician. We ask him, God, you know, just take away this pain in my arm, and then ask him, but what's causing that? What is it I'm doing or not doing, or is there what, something else? I have continual pain in my shoulder and my neck. I wake up with it, and I'm asking God myself, God, what am I doing or not doing that's causing that? Of course, they tell me, if you hadn't jumped out of all those airplanes, it's like I get tired of hearing that. You did it to yourself. You jumped out of those airplanes so much on that opening shock and hitting the ground. What did you think was going to happen? It's like when you're 20-something years old, you don't think anything's going to happen. It's always not me. But today, it's like, okay, God, touch the root of that and heal this. You can do it. And ask him to touch the root of whatever it is that's causing you all this anxiety and stress. Let me see what time it is. I'm going to have to close here in a minute. Ask God to release you from letting everybody else tell you how to live and to give you the freedom to be proactive and not reactive. Why are you being a victim of circumstance? Why don't you be proactive and see if you can change some things in your life? God will do that. Listen, the greatest peace outside of peace with God through Jesus Christ is what? Peace with yourself. And a lot of you, a lot of God's people everywhere are wrestling and arguing with themselves. They're in conflict. Get it settled. Give it up. Let it go. Whatever happened in your life, wherever you blew it in the past, let it go. But most of all, where other people blew it towards you, where they hurt you deeply, there's a place to put it before God and cry it and grieve it out and let it go and leave it there. I don't want to be mad any longer, God. I don't want to let everything in my life be seen through this filter of hate, of bitterness, of disappointment. I want all the baggage I'm trailing cut off. Take it, God, and you pray it. Pray it 10 times a day if you have to, until it's gone. Make peace with your past. What is what is. Make peace with your present. There's some people you're trying to change. Stop it. Only God can do that. Get peace with yourself. You be who God put you here to be. Maybe when you've become all that, it just might change them. But even if it doesn't, you'll be glad you did. You'll be the one that's right in your heart with God. Get peace with God through Jesus Christ and get peace in your own heart. Quit fighting with yourself. If there's something in your life and you know you shouldn't be doing it, then stop it. With God's help, God's grace is sufficient. Stop it. All right. Give you peace of mind and peace of heart. Get freedom. You know, God wants to give you freedom from worrying about whether you're forgiven or whether God, he still loves you. That's why we started with, that's why God gave me this as a starting point with the shepherds. You ever feel a low life like that? You ever just give in and turn on that thing and you're looking at pornography and you know it's wrong? And you tell God, you confess it and I'm not going to do it again, and there it is again. You start throwing things and having your fit, your spell, and you tell God afterwards, I'm not going to do it again. You say all those words, couples, you start yelling at each other, and next thing you know, you're accusing and condemning each other, and then afterwards, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that again. And then after a while, you wonder, God, am I saved? Can God even put up with somebody like me? Let me ask you something. Besides, outside of Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, have you ever heard of or known anybody that didn't commit a sin? Friends, all of our lives is a struggle overcoming the flesh. It's not a license to sin. Just read Romans. Read Romans 7 when Paul talks about his struggle with himself and he can't win it. Then he first, that first well-quoted verse of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Every one of us have generational sins that need to be broken. You have strongholds in your life. Some of those strongholds, some of you have this ice cream stronghold. Okay, I hear some laughing, so okay. Well, You know, when you get under stress, what do you go to? And some of you just, have you ever sat there and convinced yourself, it's just a hot day, and if I just had that cold beer, well, maybe one more. Well, you know, I haven't had a drink, and one more, you don't have to raise a hand. You ever done it? You ever wanted a new vehicle? And you came up with 59 reasons why you should have it. You start hearing sounds in your engine that you've never heard before in that vehicle you have. That I've just got to get, when this thing is falling apart, everybody else sits there and says, I don't hear anything. Oh, I do. Yeah, it's just going to be an engine rebuild. I just need to get a new truck. Listen, won't you make peace with that? Quit worrying about it. We do those things. We cuss, we use our temper, or we go in and we in the middle of the night when we know we shouldn't, and we're eating all that stuff, and then we're going and saying, I've got to get on a diet program. And God is so loving, he's saying, you got to get on a no ice cream program. The point is, does that make him stop loving you? Yeah, I'll tell you what it does. It makes you a shepherd in the field to yourself. But there's God with all of his angels saying, you, Jesus died for you. He was born for you. He died for you. He's risen again for you, for you, for you. My celestial party is for you. You, the sinner, you, the dreg of society, you, the one that can't seem to beat those nasty habits in your life. Jesus still came here for you. He still loves you. He will never give up on you. So why don't you just get on with life and keep living and let God handle these things. You keep messing up with, confess them, repent of them. Victory is in Christ. Greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. Keep after it. Get away and get that freedom from guilt and feeling condemned. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Peace of heart. It's the assurance that God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do. And the world can fall apart. I was reading in one of the Psalms, and what did it say? It said, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you if you make the Lord your fortress, your refuge. Do it this very day. God hears you and he understands you. And what does it say in Romans 8? He causes everything to work to the good of those that he loves and have been called according to his purpose. He's going to work it out. He will make good come from everything for your life. And then let's close with just peace of life. God's telling you not, this is not up here, but just let me write this, just put this down. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And by the way, what I'm going to quote to you is from the New Living Translation, because it just seems to read good. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. So let God give you peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace of life. You don't have to have the fear of being betrayed, abandoned, or rejected by the Lord. You may be the shepherd in the field and nobody else wants you, but God does. He loves you. He has a whole party prepared for you. The angels right now are rejoicing over one sinner that repents. Freedom from being ruled by the past. Freedom from being ruled by other people. Freedom from oppression and depression and all the stuff. Listen, peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace in your life. Peace I give you, peace on earth to those on whom God's favor rests. Go from here and have God's peace. Give up this junk and invite him, his peace, into your heart. And get on with it. There's a lot of living to do, and do it in Christ who loves you so. Now, Father, we thank you for your word, the power, the goodness, the grace, and lead us out of this place with that peace in our hearts. And God, prevent anything from taking away from us. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for being here.